Mr. Baker.
Yes.
A fake ID, like you get.
The next item is the Western Sussex Farmers Market Report, and I believe, yes, come on up.
Did I raise your hand back there?
We have a representative who would like to ask to be on the agenda today.
Sure. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to all of you. My name is Linda Allen. I'm the new president of the Western Sussex Farmers Market, and I'm here today. I'd like to read a letter. We wish to thank the council for their grant they gave us back in January, I believe. To the Sussex County Council, the Honorable Mike Vincent, Vance Phillips, Joan Deaver, George Cole, and Samuel Wilson. The board of the Western Sussex Farmers Market wishes to express our gratitude for your generous sponsorship grant of $500 for our 2011 market. We are proud to inform you that our overall vendor gross sales figure doubled this year. The number of customers increased, especially as more people in the community discovered the market, and we were able to attract new vendors, thus increasing the variety of products offered. Among the new products were honey, mushrooms, and flavored rice pudding. We will be returning in 2012 at the same location, 310 Virginia Avenue, Seaford, thanks to the generosity of the Western Sussex Boys and Girls Club. Not only are we seeking vendors who offer even more products requested by the community, such as bread and cheeses, to grow our market, we plan to work diligently and focus strongly on the educational outreach mission of our organization. We wish to educate our community and about the importance of buying local, eating healthy, sustaining local agriculture, and thus our local economy. We plan to achieve these goals by holding special events at the market, such as Kids Day, which this year provided fun activities and an introduction for kids to the market, and Ag Day and a tomato festival. We hope to be able to do presentations at local schools and possibly host informational seminars for the public on such topics as how to preserve produce, safe food handling, etc. We are looking into partnering with other community organizations such as Nanticoke Health Services, the Western Sussex Boys and Girls Club, and Connections to assist us with demonstrations and related activities. We are currently the only farmers market in Western Sussex County. As we work to continue providing this public venue and educational outreach for our growers, producers, and the community, we hope you will take this and our goals under consideration and continue to support our efforts in the future. With respect and sincere gratitude, the 2012 Board of the Western Sussex Farmers Market. Linda Allen, Faith Robinson, Ricky Robinson, and Errol Maddox.
Well, thank you very much. And I visited there a couple of times, and I think you're going to be congratulated. It's a great venue. A lot of people were out there. A lot of vendors, a lot of people came out.
Yes.
And I think you're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah, very nice.
Everyone
will certainly be supporting you next year.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. And I have a copy for your records. And also, too, I have for each of the council persons, I have some recipes that the board would like to give to you.
There you go.
Give them to Sam, and so Sam can give them to his wife.
Give that to Robin down there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, thank
Robin
you
can use
much.
A recipe for
I'll
sure.
Be sure to cook that up.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
very
you very much.
Much.
You thank
support.
You for all you do. We appreciate that. Thank you. Mr. Baker.
Yes. The next item is 2012 holiday schedule. And last week, we discussed looking at revising the holiday schedule for Columbus and President's Day and making these two floating holidays instead of as a just requiring that those days be a holiday. The change that was discussed, just to try to be sure everybody understands, was only pertains to the President's and Columbus Day holidays and replacing them with two floating holidays. So there would be no decrease in terms of the number of holidays. Christmas Eve and Return Day and all would still remain as county holidays. We emailed a letter to employees last Wednesday, or memo, that basically tried to attempt to explain this. There were no changes in the number of holidays. There are still 15 proposed, including Election and Return Day. As a floating holiday, employees would have the option to take those one of those days off, sort of like a vacation day, or you know they could take President's Day or Columbus Day off if they like, or they could take another day off, subject to in the normal process the approval of their supervisor. But county offices would be open on President's and Columbus Days, and then our holiday schedule will more closely line up with the state's. If approved, department heads would have to ensure that they have sufficient staff on Columbus and President's Day to handle the public. However, it would provide additional flexibility for employees in determining days off. We do have a study done by Mrs. Jennings, the director of the accounting department, that said there'd be approximately $100 a day increase for those 2 days in terms of energy usage in our building, and possibly $100 a day increase maybe for other buildings such as the West Complex and some of one of the paramedic buildings. But this is a relatively minor cost, and it would provide the flexibility to the residents of the county to have the buildings open on those 2 days. And Karen Brewington has also prepared, if the council is interested in this, a policy for how this would be implemented in terms of employees taking time off on using the floating holidays. And I don't know if Mrs. Brewington will if the council would like Mrs. Brewington to explain that.
First question is, does the council have any interest in making these changes?
What's the overall benefit?
Basically, that the county offices would be open on President's Day
like
and Columbus
state,
Day.
To match the state.
Like the state. And the state also gives 2 floating holidays instead of these days off.
And we also would have our department heads ensuring that there'd be enough people on.
Yeah.
Yes, the department heads would have to ensure that they have enough staff to man the office, so at least the public could be addressed.
So we would be offering better service to the public in that if we do that.
That, yes.
More service, let's put it
right.
That way.
More availability.
More convenience. Mm-hmm.
More convenient, yes.
So it's just a policy, so we don't have to put this in any kind of ordinance form or anything?
No.
Right? Okay. And the policy, so it'll be written so that when the department heads hear this, they'll know that they've got to make sure they have to have, what, half a force, a third of a force? I mean, have we got any kind of percentages that are needed?
Well, it depends on the individual office. Obviously, like the building permit counter would have to be manned with probably three or four people. It depends on the type of service that the office provides. For instance, engineering would require certain people to be there, a few people to man each division,
All right, then the policy will delegate to the department heads to make this decision,
yes.
And it's nothing that they have to bring in front of you to get approval of that decision. So, so we're delegating the authority.
That themselves.
Has there been any negative feedback from department heads? I know Mrs. Brewington would take care of that.
I'm not aware of.
Okay.
There was a petition circulated.
Yeah, there was a petition that came to me, and I think it's somewhat misleading. It said attached is a proposed schedule holidays that the council proposed, and a floating holidays in place of President's Day and Columbus Day. They also proposed eliminating Christmas Eve holiday, which was not the case. So I guess seeing they're going to live in the Christmas Eve holidays, some people were not happy about that, obviously.
They're not happy about it.
Which I would not be either.
Uh-huh,
So we have about 495 employees, I guess. So we got 26 people who were opposed.
Oh, really? Okay. Right.
To that. So about whatever percent that is. But I think that's the thing that went out from somebody to the employees when it says eliminating Christmas Eve holiday, that probably got their attention.
Right.
And that was not proposed at all. So.
Okay.
Mr. Cole, the departments are already managing the Christmas vacation, the Easter vacation, summer vacation. I can't see where this would be.
No, I'm just
that
wondering
is also
if it has to go from the department head to Dave's approval. I wanted to know how much bureaucracy was involved in this whole event.
There should be no bureaucracy, I would hope.
Then if I had a department, I'd give them all off.
There you go.
Don't get any ideas, Eddie.
Well, I guess, and we have a proposed policy, and that we all got a copy, I assume.
I don't object to it. I think it'd be a good thing.
I got any question about that? If not, then I guess we are open to entertain a motion, if someone has a motion. Mr. Baker, you have a motion?
Yes. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves the 2012 employee holiday schedule as proposed, as initially proposed, except that two floating holidays will be offered instead of President's Day and Columbus Day. The County Council also approves the floating holiday policy as proposed.
Any questions on that motion? Mrs. Deaver?
No, again, you had how many on that petition? You had
26 out of
you had
26
people. Oh, 26
out of 400.
Okay.
So,
yeah. No, I don't have any other questions.
Any questions? Entertain a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second.
I'll second.
Mr. Cole. Any questions on a motion? If not, we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Bruning. Mr. Baker?
Yes, there is one other part to the schedule, and that is the County Council holiday schedule, which is on the back of the initial report. And Mrs. Griffith put this together, and it also matches up with what we've done in 2011.
Except there's only 1 week off in December versus two.
Yes, with that exception, yes.
Mm-hmm. I suggest we take all of all the stuff.
Because January 1st, 2013
is a Tuesday, yeah.
Which means you would have three consecutive weeks off, which is fine with me.
It is, huh?
I mean, with the agenda the way we have it, gentlemen, I don't see a big problem.
It suits Robin, it suits the rest of us.
That's right.
Well, Mr. Baker, do you have a motion to do this? Then we'll see what they want to do.
Okay. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves the 2012 County Council holiday schedule as proposed, and we could add December 18th, and that would match up to this year, correct? Yeah. So we could add to that, if you would like, December 18th.
What's the pleasure of council?
I mean, like I said, with these schedules we've been having, I mean, just so it, because it happens this way, I mean, there's no, I still say we take the, do like we've done in the past, take the last.
Any more comments from council?
Do you think you could do without us that long?
I know they could. Well, Dave won't
again,
be here.
But,
Todd.
From
what do you think, Todd?
From Todd's last couple months here, he's welcoming the idea that we're not around.
All right. The motion would be to adopt this schedule as proposed with the addition of December 18th.
Yes.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second.
Come on, Mr. Wilson.
Second by Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We finally got that done. Okay. Next, Mr. Baker.
Thank you. The next is discussion and possible introduction of a draft ordinance relating to performance bond requirements. Currently, County Council Code requires guarantees or performance bonds, letters of credit, for improvements to new developments. And these improvements include road improvements, stormwater improvements, buffers, sewer, and amenities. It has been brought to our attention by a request that a developer would like to construct the improvements without a bond, but with a condition that no building or zoning permits would be approved, and the property could not be transferred until the improvements are done and improved by the county. If this was approved, and the developer only, say, completed 50% of the improvements, then in order to attain a building permit, zoning approvals, or to sell the property, then he would have to post a bond or letter of credit to the county for the remaining improvements. So basically, there's, if the ordinance was approved, they could construct all or part of the improvements without the bond, again, realizing that there would be no transfers of the property or building permits allowed on the property until all the improvements were made. If the developer only completed part of the improvements then bonded the remaining amount, then the lots could be sold or transferred and building permits could be issued. So it provides another avenue. In this particular case, the developer indicated it's very difficult to attain a bond with the changes in the financial banking industries and whatnot. And so that this was also, as I understand it, it was a how the county operated a number of years ago, where we did allow the developers this option instead of requiring the bond. So,
right. I don't know, Mr.
Rizzo is here. Mr. Lank is here.
Yeah, let's.
We would have to implement administratively. First, we'd have to flag those properties so that no building permits could be issued. That could be done because we do that at the building permit counter, like with clean hands. So if I owed property taxes and I came in to get a building permit for something, they would say no at the building permit counter. And we could flag it for building permits. The transfers of property is a little bit more cumbersome. We've got to work with we would have to work with recorder deeds or look at possibly a deed restriction or on the title to get to put that in place. So
you have a proposed ordinance.
There is an ordinance that is attached that Mr. Robertson put together.
I'd like to learn more about this before we get into voting.
Well, we wouldn't, but we would have a hearing.
Yeah, exactly. So we decide whether we're going
to have a hearing.
Well, we may not even introduce it if we hear something. Could we have these two gentlemen here come up? And because they both are involved in this whole issue, and we've had problems over the years. Now, do we see, just give us your unbiased opinion on this
and
proposal.
And what about the developers who haven't been able to complete projects like roads and that type of thing that of existing communities? Will they be able to participate?
Well, the first thing is to be able to start the work once they have the approvals. They can't sell any lots. They can't get any building permits. So the improvements that they make are basically at their own risk. They're not going to get any permits or get any lot sales unless that work's completed, or to get part of it done, as David said, you get a percentage of it done, then you go in and post a bond to guarantee it, and the bond's guaranteed, we require 125%, so the 100% of the cost, and it's going to cost you 125% more to be able to bond it.
How do you do that without zoning?
We do it now. I mean, it could be done now.
They start the project. We build the project without the zoning.
No, they don't build a project without the zoning. They've got the approval. Mm-hmm. They're ready to start construction. They have difficulty getting the loan, but they've got the capital to start the work. Mm-hmm. So they start the work.
Okay.
They get a substantial amount done. Then they bond it to guarantee completion.
But they had their zoning.
Oh, they already had their zoning. Yeah, we're not going to do it without
zoning. Mm-hmm.
No, this just...
Well, it wasn't mentioned, and I didn't know how that was...
The projects are approved.
Right.
That's the first thing, but it's just that, and then we're talking about giving permits. Though, what kind of permits are needed though for the infrastructure? I know the amenities. If you're going to have a clubhouse,
they'd have to approve. They'd have to have all their zoning approval. They'd have to all their agency approvals.
Those permits will be issued.
They would have all their agency approvals, and they would have engineering or whoever doing the inspections necessary to verify the work that's being completed. And they would have to have schedules and all that process.
But we were talking about holding off building permits.
Right. No building permits.
And permits. Mm-hmm. Permits in general. But they will need permits if they're doing
permits.
This.
We're talking building permits for...
We're just talking to building permits.
Dwellings, for example, if it's a subdivision.
They put roads in.
Is that clearly identified in this...
The intent is building permits. Yes, basically it says that no lot shall be sold or transferred and no residential building permits or zoning permits shall be issued, and they interrelate.
That's where I picked up the zoning.
It's one permit with two labels, basically.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I probably have a different point of view than Lawrence does. My concern is the way this is set up, that no developer is going to bond anything, and we're going to be trying to track, you know, which phase of which project has bonds or should have bonds. We don't really have the ability to track who's selling lots. It's one thing to issue building permits. I would much more favor a situation where everybody still has to bond, but there's some kind of provision where a developer could come in and request some sort of hardship provision. So the bonding or the lack of bonding would be more of an exception than the day-to-day rule. Because we have difficulties, developer may come in, start a project, be building it, and then, and we're looking back 5-6 years, a lot of these projects get flipped to new developers, and we may not have the relationship with that newer developer that we had with the fellow who started the project. And we also have situations where we have multiple developers in different phases. So if we have a developer in phase one who doesn't want to, you know, sell lots or construct improvements, but then you might have a developer in phase two who does. So how do we deal with that scenario? So,
like an example would be like Millville by the Sea, which I think they sold off sections of it to different builders. So you're saying Millville by the Sea maybe was one big application or one big project, but then they broke it all up. And so just to track all that,
it's very difficult. That's it. So if we could ever have a situation where a developer could come in and request an exception, but 99% of them are bonding day one, I think would be a better scenario.
But sewer and roads are the primary infrastructure issues.
Stormwater, too.
And stormwater?
And amenities.
Amenities,
too. Wow. Let me pose a question to you, Mr. Trusso.
Yep.
I own 100 acres of ground. I want to develop it. I've got it all approved. It's my money that I'm putting all this stuff in.
Right.
Right, okay? So I'm bonding to pay myself?
You're bond, if you're selling lots or...
No, I haven't sold anything.
I haven't sold
anything. I want to put all the infrastructure in first.
Right.
Okay? So I'm putting my money up. I do this. Well, who's the bond? Why do I buy a bond?
Well, all I can tell
you... The bond is going to pay me?
The bond is to ensure that the people who buy lots and build homes, that the improvements are going to be completed.
I understand that.
We have is a difficulty in tracking who's doing what you're saying and who's not. We have many more situations where people have sold lots or not finished their improvements and we're chasing these bonds and letters of credits trying to get people to complete their work. Mm-hmm. Then we have the other scenario where somebody has built a whole project and not sold one lot or requested one building permit during the construction period.
Mike,
meaning that's the exception.
I'm not against the concept. It's just it's going to be very difficult for us to track these and not allow them to fall through the cracks if it's very open-ended.
Well, we had this issue, what, a year ago. We were looking at all of our bonds and whatnot. So
we've got a person out
there. That was a whole different thing, though. This is somebody right today walks in the door, got a piece of land.
But he's talking about the headaches of
that. And again, this is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean,
we all have those. I mean, that's why you're here. I mean,
Right. Let me just throw this. The only thing is as we've sat here, it's my understanding only one developer now has requested this, and now we're going through this knee-jerk reaction to write a whole new, you know, change the rules because one guy's brought it to our attention that he'd like to be able to do it. Like what you said, I own the land, I ought to be able to do all this stuff.
And that's fair. We've worked with this developer for many years, and I believe he's a man of his word, and that's what he'll intend to do. My problem is...
But the other guys.
There's some other guys we have some problems with that are going to be difficult for us to track.
Yeah.
Is there something that you could do? In other words, I don't, Sam, I don't like introducing ordinances that maybe have some problems that we're going to hear about. We're only getting a couple minutes here. As our staff maybe thinks about it and they bring something to our attention later on, now all of a sudden we have to rewrite it. Is there a way that we could sit down? Mike has alluded that there could, you know, it sounds like there may be ways to do this. And Lawrence, basically most of your issue is the amenities, right? When I guess, right. So
it all interrelates.
It all interrelates, but it's not. There's not that much of a problem, say, in your department. It's more of the problem is going to be in Mike's department.
Well, Mike's department does all the inspections.
And all the inspections and everything else. So I would before we just go and schedule something and advertise it, why don't we just take a little patience and maybe let them sit down and maybe if we can fine-tune this, if they can, then, you know, try it and see where it goes.
Administrator,
one of the things we talked about on protecting in terms of selling lots is deed restrictions. And then if a developer did try to sell a lot, the attorneys involved with the settlement would catch a deed restriction, you know, and that's something that...
Is that it?
You know,
that's whether not in this current ordinance, right?
It's not specifically stated in the ordinance.
So it's not stated then?
Couldn't it be looked at on a case-by-case basis without this ordinance?
I don't, not that I don't think so.
No.
We didn't, I don't
well,
think
Mike alluded
look
to
at that
a hardship type of
hardship.
Mm-hmm. Hardship type of thing. Of course, then we have to define hardship.
Who's going to determine what hardship means? I mean,
Sam, are you in a hurry on this, or
I will introduce that ordinance today.
The county administrator can't override the bonds.
That would
it's not
be
being existing
to me. I mean, as long as I get a directive from whether it's the county council or from the county administrator.
On individual cases.
Yeah,
not the way it's written now.
Not the way it's written.
Yeah,
okay.
I think the county code
you don't want that
bonds.
I don't mind doing that, but I think the code. We have copies of the code here, and
I think
specific.
It's going to require an amendment to the code to be able to do that.
I thought they used to do it.
Yeah, not covered now, so it would be an amendment either way.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the clean hands waiver, if the person that's applying is in a situation where we're working with them, they're on a payment plan, and this is no way equal to that, but we have a way that the county administrator intervenes and looks at the situation and that case by case. Not necessarily hardship, but case by case.
Mr. Rizzo, have you read this proposed ordinance?
I have not seen the proposed. I had seen an early draft, but I have not been privileged to see
the draft. The early draft didn't include any reference to lot sales.
Okay.
We put that in because that's...
Is this something that you could, could we put it back on the agenda for next Tuesday? You would have time to go through it with Mr. Lank and whoever, who drew it up?
Mr. Robertson.
Vince Robertson.
I think that would be a very good idea.
Okay.
We could sit down.
Okay. Apparently, Councilman Wilson will introduce this ordinance, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay.
Have you introduced it?
Yes, sir.
So it's introduced.
Right. Introduced.
We're not changing it now.
Yeah, it's not.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We're good to go. Thank you, guys.
But we can still meet.
Huh?
What's that?
Mike and I can still meet and discuss.
Well, sure, yeah. I would think. I would hope you would, because there'll be a public hearing.
Right, I expect both of your input again.
Sure.
You know, as we see this go through the process.
And if you can make improvements, that's good.
If you make it something better, we'd like that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Baker.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next is County Administrator's Report, Emergency Alert System Test, November 9th. The first nationwide test of the Emergency Alert System will take place at 2 o'clock on November 9th. The alert will be transmitted over TV and radio broadcast. The alert system is designed to make the public aware of specific emergencies and weather events, and attached is information. Delaware Solid Waste Authority, there were 47,000 pounds of recycled material received at the Recycle Delaware Pods at the West Complex during the months of July, August, and September. Sussex 911 equipment upgrade. We are pleased to note that the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center's 911 equipment and software were upgraded effective October 26, 2011. At approximately 2 a.m. on October 26, the transfer occurred. During the most of the previous week, Sussex County dispatchers worked from the Kent County EOC while technicians worked on software and hardware upgrades here. Substantial completion, Forest Landing, Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. The engineering department granted substantial completion to Forest Landing on-site Phase 1B on October 24th. The developers Forest Landing Communities LLC, and the project is located at the intersections of County Roads 368 and 84 in the Miller Creek Sewer District, consisting of 46 townhouses. Councilman Vance Phillips, airplane accident. As you have heard, Councilman Vance Phillips is recovering at the University of Virginia Medical Center in Charlottesville, where he is listed in serious condition. The airplane crash occurred near Lynchburg at a private airstrip. We certainly wish Mr. Phillips the best as he recovers. Our thoughts and prayers are with Mr. Phillips and his family. And Mr. Guy indicates that his condition has been upgraded to fair.
From serious. Good.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Old business.
Mr. President, on this matter, as you recall, we held a public hearing last meeting, and as a part of the, at the end of the public hearing, we asked that the record remain open for other persons who